From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist. And as always, I brought with me today.
Okay, guys, here we go. She brought me with her. But I brought her with me. My name is Keith Funderburk, her husband.
God. Who got the key?
Who got the key? Okay, we both got the key.
We do.
That's right. See, that's the real deal. You got your key and I got my key. See, when your wife look at you and say, look at here, brother, I got a key too. Only thing you can say is, yes, ma'am.
Okay, love you, mean it.
Dr. Funderburk, again, I'm your main man, mm-hmm. Keith Funderburk. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, Dr. Funderburk, mm-hmm. I do got to give you a theme name for the week.
That's right. You
That's
do.
Right. That's right. Dr. Funderburk.
Yes, sir.
I want you to call me Big Glasses.
Big Glasses?
That's right. BG.
Big Glasses.
Big Glasses. That's right. I'm the guy that was wearing the big glasses.
Okay.
I am.
What's that got to do with the price of tea? What are you talking about?
You know, a lot of times when you see the guys in the big glasses, they are super nerds.
That could be true.
Yeah, so I got some big glasses.
Okay.
And so right now, I am super nerd about mental health.
Okay.
In the black community. I'm like, you just squeeze me, and I'm just going to start spitting out stats and figures. And look here. 1 in 5 African Americans are considered having a mental health illness. See, Dr. Rick, just stop squeezing me. When you squeeze me like that, I'm going to spit out mental health facts for the black community. See, I went there. You see how I did that?
Oh, I'm picking up what you're putting down, sir.
Okay. So, BG, big glasses.
Big glasses. That's right. Well, you know what? I am not mad at a nerd because nerds run the world. So,
wow.
I am okay. I'm okay with you being a nerd, and I'm okay that, you know what? I'm a nerd, too.
Look. But I'm going to always tell a brother, look ahead, don't let the glasses fool you. Man, I can take off these glasses.
Oh, my goodness. And man. What? Then you're going to squint?
Man, look, I'm going to squint because you know I will. But, you know, I can do the darn thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Somebody come get him.
Man,
who brought him in here?
Man, you put on the right song, man, I will bring it.
Bring what?
I cut a rug. I cut a move.
Do I need to pull out the wedding video?
Oh, wow.
Y'all, we had so many practices for the dance that he did at our wedding, but he did good. He did good. Okay, we digress. So sorry about that, y'all.
See, Dr. Funderburk, don't talk about my dance moves on the air. That's supposed to be at the house.
Oh, my goodness.
Amongst the family.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Dr. Funderburk, seriously, though, we are talking about mental health in the black community.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal in any community. Mm-hmm. And because oftentimes we have been a marginalized community, one of many, marginalized communities oftentimes are disproportionately impacted by some of the negatives of life. And this is one of those areas, again, where we are negatively impacted due to, I think, some of that marginalization. So were you about to say something?
No.
Okay.
I guess the real deal is, you know, and it's not just mental health. I mean, you think about heart disease, you think about diabetes,
yeah.
You think about blood pressure, you think about cancer. All of these areas, we are disproportionately being impacted. And so what we want to do, of course, here on this show is really to help our community understand the impact of mental health. I mean, because it really is, you know, you don't want to minimize, you know, what's going on in your mind, in your thoughts.
That's right. Because, you know, sometimes we can be alone with our thoughts. And if you don't have someone else to connect with on those things that are in your mind, you will believe every single thing that you think. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, every single thing that you think is not true.
That's right.
That goes for him. That goes for me. That goes for you that's right there listening to us. And sometimes we got to check it.
Right, right.
We got to check it.
Man, look, sometimes we will tell ourselves some stinking thinking.
And we'll believe every word of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it gets really stinky, mm-hmm. man, I tell you what, the other day I had something in the garage. I didn't realize it was in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a certain food, and, man, that thing got funky. I didn't know. I was looking around all in the garage. We could never find it. But next thing you know, I think my mm-hmm. wife came up on it.
We thought we left a. We thought we had a poopy diaper in the
diaper
in the garage. We were like, "What is that?"
It might have been a squirrel or something. I don't know what it was, but eventually we did find it. You know, it was some food, kind of rotten.
Yeah, it just got left in the garage.
Yeah, but you know, but the real deal is though. I mean, I know we're joking with you know about the garage smell,
mm-hmm.
but really we can really tell ourselves a lot of negative self talk or negative self thinking,
mm-hmm.
and we never get these particular issues or thoughts addressed,
mm-hmm.
and especially in our own community, because, you know, when was the last time, and again, Dr. Furnham, I guess I'm kind of leading into my leading question for you,
mm-hmm.
but should we be talking about our mental health, our mental wellness at the dinner table or on the ride home from school, on the ride home from work? Mm-hmm. Should we be talking about it, especially in our community?
Should we be talking about it? That's not the question. The question is, how often do we need to talk about it? And who is going to talk about it, from, you know, person A to person B? And how are we going to get this stuff passed down from generation to generation? Those should be the questions. The question should not be, should we talk about it? Because we absolutely have to talk about it. It's kind of like saying, you know, should we have talked about COVID? Should we have talked about the flu, getting flu shots or not getting a flu shot? You know, that's your choice there. But let's have the conversation about it so that we'll know the pros and cons. So often conversations about mental health, when we're connecting to the Black community, there has been silence there. And that silence has historically come at a very high cost. It's come at an emotional cost, a spiritual cost, a physical cost, a relational cost, meaning our relationships are impacted by this. Even economically, there are economic costs to silence or not having these conversations about mental health in our community. So we've survived things.
Right,
we have been and are and will continue to be resilient people. And I also think we have to pay attention to what it was that we survived. How did we endure? What type of resilience was there? And how do we capitalize on it so that we don't unintentionally discourage the innovation of mental health, the innovative right. ways to address some of these issues that are out there for it. And, you know, a lot of times, just because of our history in this country, we have been in the past and currently, we have been connected to just because we don't want to look like we don't know what we're doing in front of whomever mm-hmm. they may be,
right?
Because we don't want to look like we don't know what we're doing. What do we say? What happens in this house?
Uh-oh, stay in this house.
Stays in this house. We talk about we don't air our business. We need to be strong. You know, the strong Black woman, the strong Black man. You know, all of that has kind of been ingrained in our conversations about ourselves and just how we move forward, how we work through the issues of life. And it almost seems like there is an undercurrent underneath the overt words that we say. You know, it's like there's an undercurrent there. So it's like if you let somebody know that you're struggling. So when we say what goes on in this house stays in this house, the undercurrent is if you let somebody know that you're struggling, that might mean you're weak. That might mean you don't know what you're doing. That might mean we don't have our stuff together. If you are out there using your faith and that's as though that's the only thing that's out there, does it mean that if you show that there's some struggle there somewhere, if you show that there's some frustration somewhere, are you saying that your faith is weak?
Right,
no,
right.
None of that is what I don't think is what we're intending to say, but these are some of the messages that get passed down in the community. And
see, and that's the real deal,
mm-hmm.
because we're talking about things, you know, when I think about the major pillars or institutions for the black folk like us,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think about our community. I think about our barbershops or hair salons.
Mm-hmm.
I think about when we go to our family reunions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think about our fraternities and sororities,
mm-hmm.
these are all major institutions within our community. But when we start talking about depression, when we start talking about anxiety, you know, or even I got these strange, you know, really weird thoughts, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's men, folk, we look at each other differently.
Mm-hmm.
Today, right now, you're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. And today, y'all, we're talking about something that's really important for our folk, mental health in the black community. You know, when we start thinking about it, you know, what we're really looking at here, Dr. Funderburk,
yes.
is that this particular topic, mental health, is really viewed as a taboo.
It has been, yeah.
You know, as some type of stigma.
And still is. I mean, yeah. it's gotten better, but yeah, it's still absolutely, there is still a stigma out there as it relates to mental health issues.
Yeah, because like I'm thinking about, even within our genders,
mm-hmm.
men and women approach mental health differently. And so it's extremely important that we really talk about it. So guys, when you out when we're playing a little bit of basketball, or we're playing a little bit of, you know, some football or something, man, just talk to the brothers. I mean, just break it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you might be having a bad day, or maybe you know, you got some things that you've been feeling and going through. I'm like, bruh, man, I need to talk to somebody, man. Cause for some reason I've been starting to having all these aches and pains in my body, but it's not related to me playing ball or
yeah.
it's not related to me, you know, working out at the gym.
Absolutely. We call that psychosomatic. And there are things that can come up in your mind
mm-hmm.
that your body will then respond to.
So psychosomatic. Okay, that's mm-hmm. a big word, Dr. Funderburk.
Well, I mean, that's what it is, though.
I know, that's right. Dr. Funderburk, she's got bigger glasses than I do. Man, so if you see her glasses.
The shade of it all.
Man,
oh, my goodness.
Man, that girl's glass is bigger than her head. But the real deal is, though, so you're saying sometimes physically, if you're having these physical sensations, you're going to your doctor. I'll tell mm-hmm. you what happened with me. Let me share my story.
Okay.
You know, I can remember I was at work. I was facilitating a training class.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I started having some of these physical sensations.
Like?
I was breathing really heavy. Mm-hmm. My heart was beating like crazy. So I thought I was getting ready to faint.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got
Did you get a little dizzy?
Yes. Yeah, so I was getting ready to say that. I got a little bit of dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went over to the emergency room and they evaluated me. Man, they did, you know, a variety of tests. And they told me, Mr. Funderburk, you're fine. You just need to go on home and just rest. But mm-hmm. lo and behold, that happened maybe 3 or 4 additional times.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the emergency room department and then I went over to my primary care doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And each time they evaluated me, my primary care doctor eventually sent me over to get my brain, did an MRI on my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was fine. Lo and behold, after about 6 months of this going through this process,
mm-hmm.
he told me, look, you need to go see a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And once I saw that psychologist, he began to tell me about this psychosomatic stuff that you're talking about, Doc.
Mm-hmm. And do you know, well, because you were having, at that time, you were having panic attacks.
Panic attacks, that's what
so,
it was.
So before the panic attacks, there was, I'm going to say generic anxiety. I'm going to put generic in air quotes, because everybody's anxiety can look different on them, but his anxiety was generalized. So generalized meaning it popped up in a lot of different places. It wasn't just related to driving or
right, right.
just related to work, or it wasn't just related to any one particular thing. It popped up in multiple different areas. And that is very common. You all, if you've listened to the show multiple times, you've likely heard me call anxiety and depression the common colds of mental health, because they absolutely are so common. And they can come up in varying degrees of intensity.
Right.
But they are still very common. And what Keith had happened to him is very common. You talk to any ER doc. You talk to any ED nurse, anybody who works in the ED, emergency department, and they will tell you that there are lots of people who come in with serious sounding physical symptoms. Because right. Think about what Keith said. His heart felt like it was just beating out of his chest.
I was having headaches.
Headaches. So then people are, now we're calling in neuro, since you're right. Talking about these headaches and where the, so we're talking about heart. We're talking about brain.
Even I was having some, like my stomach was cramping. I think
GI issues. Yeah. So you talk about any, especially heart and brain, when you go on into the ED, they're going to check you out real good. But after that, that's when they said, oh, you know what, Mr. Frenderberg, yep. We can't find anything organic. They probably said right. Something like that, and made the recommendation that you connect with a mental health provider. And notice, this was not one time.
No.
That he went, right? This was multiple times that he ended up in the emergency department. And let alone, we're not even talking about the number of people that you talked to even before getting there, the friends, the family members, the just people in general that you talked to try to say, this is what I'm feeling. What in the world is going on with me? And so what you had was quite common. Again, I said panic attack, and that's what the diagnosis was back then. You were having panic attacks, and panic attacks can absolutely feel like you are dying. And that is not a stretch. Because listen at what he said. He was talking about heart. He's talking about brain. He's talking about GI issues. These things can take you out of here. So when you are feeling this stuff pop up in your body, and then your mind starts to go, and oh my goodness, why does my heart keep beating like this? Oh my goodness, why do I keep getting these headaches? Why can't I digest any food? Why does my stomach feel like it's always in knots? Why am I always getting these aches and pains, and they're just random over and over and over again? You can imagine, if you don't have any kind of answer to that, you can feel like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And then when your mind takes over, your mind says, look, I'm going to show you who's in charge. And that's when your mind might start to say, oh my gosh, I felt this pain. This feels like, and then we go to Dr. Search Engine, right? You know, we go to our favorite search engine and we start looking stuff up. What does it mean? Or our favorite AI these days. What does it mean if I have X?
That's right.
And then you could have a hangnail on your pinky toe and you will read somewhere that is a symptom for something tragic. And all of that was going on back then. And at that time, we weren't married. At that time, we were dating. At that time, we weren't married, and I had just started my education, really.
Right.
And so I didn't know what to tell him. Right.
Right. But you know what's so interesting? Again, you could probably call me Pinky, because I swear that was me the other day. I had something on that pinky toe. Man, that thing was hurt. By the way, y'all listening to How You Living, A Show About Life with the Frenderbergs. We've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Frenderberg. Today, y'all, we're talking about mental health in the Black community. You know, Dr. Frenderberg, I was thinking about listening to the news and how we are being disproportionately criminalized or in the jail system or the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was really interesting. I was just talking to a gentleman earlier today and about mental health for prisoners or for inmates. You know, the real deal is, when, you know, there's this concept that's called, you're emotionally hijacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in other words, you were going through life, you were going through something, and then all of a sudden you had something happened, and it was quick, it was fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you didn't
intense.
Yeah, intense. Because mm-hmm. really, that person that might be sitting in a jail or might be sitting in some type of prison, they didn't intend to hit somebody. They didn't intend to make a robbery.
In many cases.
Right, in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are some that may, you know, again, have that intent.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes something snapped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mental health.
Yeah. And that's exactly what. So when I was working on my dissertation, that was a huge part of my dissertation. We were looking at I was looking at specifically emotional intelligence. And when so you all definitely please look some of this stuff up when you're talking about emotional intelligence, and closely related to that is the emotional, or a part of that is the emotional hijack.
Right.
When your mind or your brain gets hijacked, there is a processes that are going on in your brain as you get emotionally hijacked. I'm trying not to get too technical here, but there's a small piece in your brain that once it gets triggered and it says, oh, there's something for us to be upset about or scared about or nervous about or whatever emotion about, that small, and it's a very small piece of your brain. For some of you might recognize, I'm talking about the amygdala. So when the amygdala gets mm-hmm. stimulated and thinks, okay, there's a threat here. What's up?
Right.
It's a small piece, but it can take over.
Wow.
All of your thinking.
Wow.
It will shut down the logical thinking parts of your brain, and it will say, oh, nope, I'm in charge now. So that's when, let's take this to maybe a more positive side. That's when somebody tells you that, like, really just out of left field, hilarious joke, mm-hmm. but except you're sitting in the middle of class, or you're sitting in the middle of the library or wherever you're sitting. But they tell you that hilarious joke and you just burst out laughing, and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to do that. That was an emotional hijack.
Wow.
But that's on the positive side. So just as strong as that can be on the positive side, it can be that strong on the negative side. So look up some of the information about the emotional hijack, and it'll start to give you even more detailed information than I'm going over here. But also, you know, some of this stuff kind of gets passed down. That's what epigenetics would say. That's another thing for y'all to look up.
Epi who?
Epigenetics. E-P-I genetics.
Wow.
G-E-N.
Okay, so
Yes. But it gets passed down through the lineage, through the DNA. So some of the trauma that happens in one era can actually start to show up and start to shift DNA in a particular lineage. So you can there's been empirical research on that. This is not just me talking. I know specifically, like I can think of studies that have been done on Jewish communities and how it was how their community has been impacted through epigenetics because of the Holocaust.
Right.
I am not 100% sure how or if that has been done based on slavery, U.S. slavery. So somebody else, look that up for me, and I'm actually going to look it up myself after we get off
of here. But Dr. Fuller, again, we only have only a few more minutes left.
Oh my goodness, we didn't get through but like half a question.
Yeah. But you know what, though? I wanted to ask this question really quick.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to young people,
mm-hmm.
sometimes adults look at young people and say they don't have anything going on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. I mean, what are they concerned about? Why are we, you know, they should just be thinking about, you know, am I going to, you know, drink chocolate milk or white milk,
mm-hmm.
you know, or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But young people, they also have issues of life.
Absolutely.
And if you don't address it when you're younger, that thing will only magnify itself when you get older.
Absolutely. So the first thing for us to think about is, the younger you are, okay, there's so much here. So human brains are not fully grown until we're early to mid 20s, right? So let's keep that in mind, first of all. So the younger you are, the less you are equipped physiologically, the less you are equipped to handle when problems come your way. So that's why you will see your kids, you know, just kind of, again, the younger they are. So we'll go to our almost 3-year-old, you know, it's like, wait, we're actually fixing the chocolate milk for you, but you got to wait like 30 seconds, right, before you can get this chocolate milk. And she is in the floor. Oh, my goodness. I can't have my chocolate milk right now. Well, that's because she's three, right? Or she's almost three. And so she doesn't have the capacity to really understand, how do you do this thing called waiting? How do you have patience? How do you employ that? So that is something that adults would consider a minor problem, right? So let's consider that there are relationship problems, whether that's friendships, whether that's romantic relationships as kids start to grow up, whether that's relational problems within the family. The younger they are, the less mental aptitude they have to deal with some of these issues, simply because they just haven't been here on the planet long enough. So when you layer onto that, that there may be other issues of the, you know, they may be a child that has a particular illness, or that family might be facing certain financial issues and that child can feel it, or they have not measured up as far as the grades that they're trying to get, or maybe they're comparing themselves to their siblings, maybe the way other people compare them to their siblings. And for whatever reasons, they're just not measuring up in their own minds. Those problems, even though to us, they might seem like, okay, you'll grow out of this. Let's get some more experience under your belt. To them, this is everything. And they have, simply because they have less experience, less time being here on the planet, they don't know as much of how to deal with it. So they will, they might be impulsive, and they might, like our 3-year-old in the chocolate milk, you might be impulsive. They might knock something over. They might, given the right set of circumstances, they might make a bad decision that could then be, you know, have some lifelong consequences, simply because they don't have the experience in dealing with problems. That's why they need to be able to hear, and they need to be able to see from those around them that, yes, life happens, and these are some things we can do to work through it, right? They need some positive folks around them who can say, this is how we work through it, not, that's kid stuff.
Right, right. Dr. Funderburg, man.
I know. I hope y'all got what I was trying to say. That yes. There were like 10 other points I was trying to, that right, I wanted to right. make that just didn't get out there. So I hope that was not confusing at all for anybody. We just have to come back to this topic maybe next time, because we didn't even scratch the surface. So you know what, you all, we definitely want you to come back and listen to us some more. So each week we are here on Mondays at 5 p.m. And there are, I think, some other days that we pop up too. Come back and join us on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.